Just take a second to greet those around you. Turn these Christmas trees on. Well, good morning. We are glad to see you. I just want to make sure that nobody laughs if people show up at 9:30 or 9:40, because you are the diligent ones that know when service starts. So as I was thinking about this weekend, does anybody watch videos on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, right? So I like funny ones, but you'll get the point here in a second. So there's nothing like a gender reveal party going wrong, okay? Whether they hold the confetti can backwards or, you know, whatever, the little two-year-old comes up and pops the balloon before they're ready, and to see their expressions, you know. I watched one video, this guy's proposing in Hawaii, right? And you see him, she's turning around, and he gets the ring out, and he's getting ready, and she turns around, and just as he takes the knee, whoop, there he goes, out into the ocean. You know, you see the ring flying through the air, and I'm just bringing this up. They're funny, but there's memories within our lives that bring us great joy, isn't there? And so I was thinking, okay, you know, what about me? What are those things that bring me great joy? So we'll see if I need to eat lunch somewhere after this next story. So when my wife became pregnant with all my kids, I had a 10-foot smile on my face every single time. But there was one time, sorry, honey, that with Kylie, my wife, she's at work, she finds out she's pregnant, she's crying, and a coworker is concerned, and she asks her, what's wrong? Is your husband going to be upset? And she is crying, and I don't know if it was joy or stress, but she goes, no, he's going to be happy. So all of my kids, when my wife told me that she was pregnant, I was overjoyed. Coming out here was another thing. It took me a while. And you're probably glad because God had to work some things out of me. But coming out to Ellicott, so we are moving to Falcon on Friday and Saturday. So, yes, this is a shameless plug for help moving, especially since I pulled I have a partial tear in my bicep from the gym. So I just ask that you sweep out the horse trailers first. But you can get with RJ or me after service. I'm not joking. I need help. Did anybody not get point one of the sermon? So, and the third thing of, you know, I'm retired from the military, but being a first sergeant was one of those things. And it was not the position or the pay or authority in that sense, but it was like discipleship in the Army. It's like deliberately investing in those that were around me. And that still pays off today when I see who has made sergeant major or who has become an officer and those types of things. And so, you know, you might be remembering things that cause joy, certain events, whether, you know, where's my grandparents? That first grandkid, right? You know, Pat even brought one with her. No. Borrowed one. Okay. But those things, or your proposal, or a move, or transition, or whatever it is, you're like, you know, that, like, brought us a lot of joy at that time. And just a few months back, so many of us participated with a time of great joy with Brett and his wife when they had their vow renewal. Okay, that was an awesome time. And you might be thinking of other things like that. Teens, it could be your first job, first love, you know, or that all you can spend gift card that you're going to get tomorrow. No pressure, parents. Kids, where's the kids at? Is there any kids in here? Okay, let's do like under fifth grade. There you are. What's tomorrow? Christmas, right? And that's going to bring you great joy. And so when we get into our passage, as we begin to pray, is that we're going to see that these glad tidings of great joy and what that is with the birth of Christ. So let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we do thank you for your love for us in sending your Son. And as we go through these scriptures, just pray that your Holy Spirit would minister the truth to us. And though there's a lot of decorations and gift giving, is that we would just remember why we celebrate this time with joy. It's because of your love. It's because of what Christ has done, because of his coming. And so just ask that you'd be with us the rest of this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn in your Bible to Luke 2 as we look at the good news of the birth of Jesus. And look at the first five verses. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from the Biden administration, Caesar Augustus, that," I'm just trying to make it, you know, cross the cultural bridge for you all, "went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." So just a few things, you know, historically, Caesar Augustus wasn't always the chief Caesar. There was three of them that were, but in 27 BC, he took over and he was the sole ruler. And so the Roman Senate gave him all authority for the government, and they bestowed on him that title Augustus, of being supreme. And so from this date, it's reckoned that the reign of Caesar Augustus is during this time. And though it was a title originally, it became part of his name. And so emperors would tax people. Imagine that. Okay. And you can see it was enforced to the degree that significant travel had to happen. So they're up in Nazareth going down to Jerusalem. And ladies, okay, I want you to imagine that you are in the last month of your pregnancy and your husband is throwing you on a donkey 4.5 days at 8 hours a day, because it's some 80 miles by foot. Now, just to show you how far it is on this next slide, let's see if it's, there it is, okay? Via donkey, all right? Anyone want to sign up, okay? No, but that's where they traveled. And that makes you appreciate even more Mary during this time of what's going on. And so their travel to Bethlehem is not only for the census, but a fulfillment of Micah 5:2, which will be up on the screen. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." So there's even a prophetic prophecy that's given, and we're going to look at a few more, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Now, as we're going through this, you should be like, well, what does the word betrothed mean, and what really does it have to do with? The easiest way to describe this is to be legally married but not having consummated the marriage yet. That's why they had to travel together for the census. Both of them were from the lineage of David, and they had to go to be counted. So now they're in Bethlehem awaiting their time for the census, and Mary goes into labor. Look at verse 6. It says, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And this is what Christmas is about, isn't it? The birth of Jesus, the arrival of Jesus. And why is this significant? There are many prophecies about Jesus' birth and his life, and we're just going to look at a few of them from the Old Testament. All right, so we are going to go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis 3:15. This next verse, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is actually a prophecy given by God that a Savior would come to defeat Satan, all the way back in Genesis. The words of God telling her about this future birth. And in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And if you read the other stories, that was part of the angel's message to Joseph also. But Isaiah prophesied of a divinely granted birth, okay, a virgin birth. And in Psalm 72, verse 9, those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. Okay? So, and you're like, lick the dust? What does this have to do about Jesus' birth? Well, just look at the first half of the verse, okay? Those who dwell in the wilderness is likely referring to shepherds, okay? And that they're going to come and bow before him. And we're going to see that shortly in these next couple of verses. But the point I want to make is that God told us his son would come. All the way back to Genesis, okay? God told us that he would come, and the people at that time that had the word, that had the teachers, they knew that Messiah was coming. And although there's many more verses about prophecy, the thing of concern is, despite them having scripture, is that they still missed it. And I plead, if you're a visitor, or if you don't think any of this is true, is that you still would not miss it, okay? Is the reality of who Jesus Christ is, that God loves you enough to send his son so that you can be with him for this life and the life to come. So, John 3:16, you're going to hear this verse until Jesus comes, unless I get fired. For God so loved the world that he gave. The first gift given, besides life in general, was the fact that the Father gave the Son on your behalf, to restore relationship and reconcile relationship with you, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't miss the point of Christmas, okay? You know, so those of you that know me, like, squirrels pop in my head once in a while, and they're not good, even though it's a Christmas illustration and it's a horrible movie. And no, it's not Die Hard. So, but, or Rambo. First Christmas movie. So don't, but you know, a Savior is born, and don't miss the point. Let's look at verse 8 with the shepherds. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So just like King David, who was a shepherd before he became king. In fact, if you go all the way back to Genesis again, Bible trivia time, which son was likely a shepherd of Adam? Abel was the shepherd. Cain was the farmer. Two of the oldest professions that are there. So the shepherds are protecting the sheep at night, you know, keeping away coyotes, wolves, all right? They did have lions. I don't know if they're mountain lions or regular lions. And all of a sudden, this blinding light appears, and you see an angel. Yeah, I would be shaking in my boots a little bit as well. And that first thing he has to say is, don't be afraid. And second, he gives the thesis of the message, which is also this one: I bring you good tidings of great joy. And we're going to look at what that phrase is, because we can miss some things in there. And so in the Greek, it is euangeli isomai, umen karin Megalane, okay? Now, the reason why I bring this up is because the word for good tidings is what we're looking at. It means good news or gospel, all right? That long $5 Greek word means, if we translated it directly, it means good message I bring. That's how they cram that word together. Aren't you glad we're not speaking in Greek? I am, okay? And you can see that similarly in Mark 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the same root word, euangelio, which means gospel of, right? So I had missed this for all of these years, that in reality is the same word that's used consistently in the New Testament for gospel is the same root word that he's saying, this angel is saying, I am bringing you the good message. I am bringing you the gospel. And what does it look like? Is the angel continues to tell them what it is with that statement. It's a savior or a deliverer has been born. But then he uses the word Christ, which is Greek, Christos, okay, which is equivalent with Messiah in Hebrew. It means most holy one, anointed one is born. But then he uses the word Lord. So he uses all three of those words, that the actual God has been born, the Lord. And so the angels tell us God's son is here. Not only did God tell us about the birth of his son that was coming and why, but that the angels are telling the shepherds that this is who it is. So the significance of this initial delivery of the gospel after Jesus' birth tells us and the shepherds that we need a savior, okay? And that word Messiah of Christos in Greek is that we need a holy one that makes us holy. And then last, with the use of the word Lord, is that we need Jesus as Lord of our life, even right now. And that's, you know, this is this simple packaged meaning of whosoever believes. That's what's wrapped up in the word believes. We believe that Jesus saves us from the consequence of sin and rebellion through his death and resurrection. When we believe that Jesus' righteousness is put upon us, that we are justified or we're made holy to be able to be in God's presence, and because of our response is to place him as Lord of our life, is that we then worship him. So if you don't believe this, I just ask that you please consider it. And going back to what I said is plenty of folks at the time had heard the Old Testament, had heard Scripture, but they missed the Messiah, didn't they? So don't miss it today. I promise you, Christmas tomorrow will be different than every other one that you've had. So the angel continues to give details. You're going to find this baby born, swaddling clothes, okay? Just like we started, the birth of a child is good news, is that everybody's going to be celebrating when this child is born. And part of what's wrapped up, like there's no room in the inn, all right? They didn't have like, the, you know, Holiday Inn in Bethlehem at that time. And so, like, there was no available space with their family. And that's why you find them out in a stable, which might have been a rock outcropping with a fence around it to keep the livestock together. And so they tell them, and so after the message, the shepherds see this huge angelic choir. So, okay, we're overwhelmed with just one guy telling us, one angel telling us this message, and then all of a sudden, whatever it was, now there's this whole angelic host that are singing to bring glory to God in the highest and to proclaim that goodwill and peace is what is coming to the earth for all men. And then they go away. Can you just imagine that? We got plenty of fields that we can imagine that in around here, can't we? Okay, you're working at night. You're watching the livestock. Angel shows up. Yep, I'm falling down dead. That's what happened to a lot of the guys in the Old Testament. But, and then this overwhelming message that's there, and then not just the one, but then this multitude of angels, okay, that you hear singing, just overwhelming. Look at verse 15. So we've seen that God tells us his son is will come, and then the angels talk about the son has come. In verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So their response, the shepherds tell others that Messiah has come. They share what had happened with the angels. They go into town and they find out who's had a baby and where is it at. And they go and look, it's just like the angels have said. And I could see them getting there and they're like, it's true. What the angels said is true. The Savior has come. And the response is not only belief, but what they go out to tell others what has happened. They spread out, tell others about the angelic encounter. the glad tidings of great joy. They go share the message of the gospel that causes joy. People marvel at that testimony. It's so incredulous. And they're imagine if the shepherd comes by and your family's like, could it be true? Could the Messiah actually be here? Maybe we can go see. They return to the livestock pen. And what is their response? They glorify God. They worship him for what they had seen. They possessed great joy at the message of glad tidings, didn't they? And it's a familiar story for many of us, okay? And the reason why, you know what? Shepherds are just ordinary people. He didn't come to kings. He didn't come to governors. He didn't come to Caesar Augustus or Quirinius. Please don't name your kid that. But he didn't come to them, did he? The angels came to the shepherds. Regular people like you and me. And God specifically sent them an angelic message. The gospel, the good news that the Messiah had come. To the least of men, God still sends glad tidings that last for eternity for whoever believes. So we've seen this Christmas Eve that God told all that his son would come in the prophecy of Scripture. The angel told the shepherds that the Savior was here. He just was born, and he's wrapped in strips of clothing, and he's in a manger. Okay, so don't go to the hospital. He's with the farm animals. And then the shepherds, once they experienced that, they what? They go tell others what they had encountered as well. And there's one last point as we're going to wrap up. I'm telling you God's son came. But I also want to tell you that he's going to come again. And I don't want you to miss it like so many contemporaries at Jesus' birth missed it. And I want you to think, for those of you that have read the Gospels, you remember the Pharisees? You remember the Sadducees? You remember all of that? You remember Nicodemus didn't want to get found out, so he had to go talk to Jesus during the nighttime, not during the day? Do you remember all of that? How many times did people miss it? So the same thing today is that we don't want to miss it. We have the sure word of God that prophesied about the birth. We have life-transforming testimony of great joy by receiving the good news and believing. People that we know. And I'm telling you today that God's son, Jesus, came and will come again. In the book of Revelation, we have many more prophecies about the second coming of Jesus. And right in chapter 1, in the 7th verse, it says, "Behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Yeah, I'd be crying too. I'm just about done, so. You know, the good news is that Jesus came. And that's what we're celebrating. But it continues not only with verse 16 of John 3, that he paid for our sins, God gave him, and we believe. And that through his death, okay, that he paid for him, that we can be saved. Is that we have another prophecy here in the book of Revelation that he is coming back. But you notice it doesn't say great joy, does it? Did you notice what their response was? They're mourning. They're crying. And why is there mourning if this is such good news? And I think the answer is on the backside of John 3:16 and verses 17 through 19. And again, it gives even more intent of God. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But that's the message that most people think. But look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The reason why they're mourning at Christ's second coming, at his return, is because they don't believe, because they love evil. And my hope for you today is that you believe the good news today. The glad tidings today. Because when he returns, it will likely be too late because our hearts would be hardened in pursuing the things in life. Sin, darkness have a hold of those that were mourning compared to right now of listening to the Holy Spirit testify in your heart that this is true. God loves me. He sent his son. He wants me with him forever. You don't have to pay nothing. You don't have to work. You have to believe it from your nose to your toes with the reality that it changes your life. If you'll stand with me as the worship team's coming up. So I want, right now, I just want every head bowed and eyes closed. Contemplate what I'm saying to you. Just meditate on these things. Something that gets missed so often is that God loves you and wants you to be with him for eternity. That there's no doubt about that. Second is I can't get there by any way except through believing in what Jesus has done for me. And that God accepts me based on this simple faith. But this isn't some magic formula. But the reality of this faith, my response is to give my life to him and make Jesus Lord of my life. If you don't believe this but want to, please pray this prayer either out loud or in your mind. It is not the order, the structure of the prayer that saves you. It's taking God at his word, believing in Jesus, his son, and exercising a whole faith that does. So pray with me. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I believe you love me and sent your son to pay for my sin. I believe you put Jesus' righteousness upon me and see me as if I have never sinned. You accept my confession of faith because you said you would. And Jesus did what I can't. I turn away from my selfish life to live a life for you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And may overflowing blessings of great joy truly abound in your heart. If you truly meant this, please introduce yourself to me or someone on the prayer team that's up here. I'll be in the back by the sound booth. And for anybody that needs prayer, do not leave this Christmas Eve without getting prayer. I hope to see you all at 4 with some Christmas carols, candlelight.